Okay, good. So welcome again to chapter 14 of the training manual, volume one, spiritual gifts. There are actually two parts of spiritual gifts. So this is just part one. Marsha is going to take part two next week. Good. So the aims for this chapter. What are the spiritual gifts? We have a bit more aims than usual. The first aim is what are the spiritual gifts? What are the categories of spiritual gifts? What is the difference between spiritual gifts and fruit of the spirit? What are the prerequisites needed to obtain the gifts? And what are the steps necessary to discovering your spiritual gift? So we can just go straight into our discussion. Good. So what are spiritual gifts? So first and foremost, I have some definitions here of gifts. So the Greek word for gifts is charisma or charismata. So that means spiritual gift or gifts, right? Charisma, gift, charismata, gifts. Okay, and that's the Greek word used. It says charisma. So I have a definition here. It says a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for us within the context of the body. So the Greek word charisma, we would see that in 1 Corinthians 12, 4. And it means gracious deliverances of that which is imparted through human instruction, right? Gracious deliverances, one, and then two, of that which is imparted through human instruction. So then I have a definition here. Extraordinary powers distinguishing, sorry, certain Christians and enabling to serve the Church of Christ. Remember, we had this discussion, well, a brief discussion. As it relates to the gifts. And we said that it was for the edification of the body. So it says here, distinguishing certain Christians and enabling to serve the Church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace, meaning that we don't work for gifts, right? As you would know, you don't work for a gift. So it's just grace. It's by God's grace that we receive these gifts. It says, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace. To the power of divine grace operating in their souls by the Holy Spirit. And this was the definition I pulled from Unger's, I think that's the way you pronounce it, Unger's Bible Dictionary. So those are just some quick definitions of spiritual gifts or the Greek word for spiritual gift, as I said before, charisma, charismata, as it relates to spiritual gifts. Okay, so what are the categories of spiritual gifts? So I found three categories, and again, all of this information is found in the actual manual. I pulled this information from the manual. So we have three categories of spiritual gifts: revelation gifts, power gifts, and inspirational gifts. So the revelational gifts are gifts that reveal something, right? As we would expect. The word revelational captures the idea that these three gifts reveal information supernaturally from God to a believer. So it's the Lord Himself revealing this information to us. I'm going to go to the other slide. I would have the different gifts categorized. I don't have them categorized here. The second category is power gifts. So these gifts do something. The power gifts are all supernatural, extraordinary, and miraculous in manifestation. The power gifts work through God's people to provide a specific service. So, if from that definition alone, you can just think of some. The third one, inspirational gifts. So, these are the vocal ones, gifts that say something. These are all vocally based and supernatural in manifestation. These gifts are for public usage and not individual, not the individual. So it's not to bless me. It's to edify the body, it's to bless others, right? These gifts require at least two people to operate in accordance with scriptural guidelines. Okay. And I have two scriptures here quickly. Could someone pull up 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 3 to verse 5? Actually, let me just, I can just do it. Let me just do it quickly. I'll just read it for everyone before I go on to the actual gifts themselves. Just let me pull it up quickly. 1 Corinthians 14, 3 to 5. And it reads, okay, good. 3 to 5. Let me just put the full scripture. Good. 1 Corinthians 14:3-5. It reads, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." So this is where it needs at least two people, right? The inspirational gift. "Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified." I remember we were talking about the different types of tongues. Well, different types, or I guess it would, yeah, different types, because there's one for the edification of the body, and this is what they're referring to here. And then the other is for edification of self. All right. So that's 3 to 5, and then 29 to 32 reads verses 29 to 32. It says, "Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said." That is again why more than one person is required, because as one speaks, the other one weighs it or tries it to determine whether or not, okay, I agree, I don't agree, you know. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. So you understand that? The first speaker should stop. You know how many times I've read this, and this is the first time I'm realizing that. Yeah, at the end of the day, the Lord operates in order. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop, obviously, to allow the other person to speak. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Right? So, again, order. The spirits of prophets are subject to the control of the prophet. So, you know, we're always hearing that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, meaning that you can control yourself to suit. So he's saying if somebody is prophesying and someone else stands up to do it, the first one should stop and allow the other to speak. Okay. Okay, good. So I have them here broken down. I have a table here of the three categories of gifts. So there's the revelation, which reveals information, the inspirational one, that inspires communication and power, which performs miracles. So the revelational gifts relate to word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. The inspirational gifts of prophecy, different kinds of tongues. Remember, we said this is a vocal one, interpretation of tongues. And the power, remember, this is for the other person and not you. It's not a bless me, but a bless you. Gifts of faith, gifts of healing, miraculous powers, right? And we had said already that the revelational one is revelation from the Lord. Okay, so. Hello, can you hear me? I think I
No,
just muted
actually,
myself.
can you mute, please? Unmute.
Yeah, how long was I on mute? Did you hear the category of gifts?
Yeah,
Revelational, inspirational, and power? Oh, okay, good, good, good. I just realized I don't know. Anyhow, let's just go through. Good. So I'm going to take them directly from the manual. Good, so I'm going to just go through them based on the order. not necessarily the order that I have here, but the order I have here in the book. So I'm just going to go through quickly. If anyone has any questions, we could just stop. So the gift of prophecy, this is supernatural utterance in the natural tongue. It is the special ability that God gives to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divine utterance not conceived by human thought or reasoning. It includes speaking on to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Right? So basically it's saying it's a word received directly from the Lord, and it is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Right? And that's very important there. To edify, to exhort, and to comfort. That's the reason for prophecy. The gift of service. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members. So obviously, this is a power gift, but it isn't listed here in the diagram that I have, that I pulled, right? But it's here in our manual. So it speaks of the gift of service. So we know the gift of service would have to be one on the power, because gift of service is not for self, it's for the other person. So it says this is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to identify the unmet needs involved in a task related to God's work and to make use of available resources to meet those needs and help accomplish the desired goals. Okay? The gift of teaching. Right, and even as I run through them, I will let you to be thinking, okay, so this is a gift. I function in this gift. This is my gift. This is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to communicate information relevant to the health and ministry of the body and its members in such a way that others will learn. Because you know, you have some people that they, you know, without a doubt that they have the gift to teach others, because they just have that ability to break down information in a way that it is understood, even as it's transferred, it's understood. The gift of exhortation. This is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to minister words of comfort, consolation, encouragement, and counsel to other members of the body in such a way that they feel helped and healed. You know, you have some people that you could be having the worst day, and just a word from them, or just to see them alone, it brings comfort to you, because you know their heart, and even as they speak the words, it brings healing to the body. Right, we know people like that. We have a couple of people like that in our lives. The gift of giving. This is a special ability God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to contribute their material resources to the work of the Lord with liberty and cheerfulness. The word says, you know, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And we know we have some people around us, you know, that just love to give, and we too should be the same way. You know, giving freely, loving to give, and giving liberally. And my sister, my sister has that gift. Me, I am still in cert. I give if there is a need, and I give obviously, you know, to the ones that I love. But I must be able to give in all areas, and I'm just being very open. I must be always willing to give regardless of the matter. So I am working on that, if I'm being honest. Yes, the gift of leadership. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to set goals in accordance with God's purpose for the future and to communicate these goals to others in such a way that they voluntarily and harmoniously work together to accomplish these goals for the glory of God. This gift also involves organization and management of God's people for God's purposes. Could someone unmute themselves and tell me which category the gift of leadership would fall under? Hello? Could someone tell me which category the gift of leadership would fall under? We have three categories. Revelation, it reveals information. Inspiration inspires communication and power performs
A power.
miracles.
And
Sorry?
the power, because it's something they're doing.
Power. I was thinking, okay, let me hear someone else. So who's the person? I can't, because I can't see who's responding.
Henry.
Sorry?
Henry.
Henry? Henry?
Yes.
Henry. Okay. Good.
Henry.
H-E-N-H-E, Henry.
Yes.
Okay. Could someone else give me an answer? For me, leadership, I was thinking that leadership was under power initially, but when I really look at it, I'm thinking that it's inspiration because it inspires others to do. But I'm looking for another answer. Does anyone else have another suggestion of where it falls? The gift of leadership.
I placed it under inspiration as well, actually.
Okay.
I will say it's power
Power.
given by God to pass some information, to be
Power,
able
okay.
to empower others too.
To do.
Because you empower others, you got the power from the Lord, and then you use that power to empower others, those who are under you.
Yeah, and that's a good explanation too. So, power, yeah. Power, yeah, because
I would say, as a revelation and inspiration,
You're breaking up really bad.
I'll say revelation.
Revelational? In that it reveals, I think we should look this up and come back with an answer on Thursday. We should. The gift of leadership. Okay. Just here reading something quickly. Okay. I still iffy between two of them. Okay, so we could always come back to that. I should make a note and just look it up to see where it falls in terms of leadership, which category it falls under. Okay, the gift of mercy. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body to feel genuine empathy and compassion for individuals, both Christians and non-Christians, who suffer distressing physical, mental, or emotional problems, and to translate that compassion into tangible help that reflects Christ and alleviates suffering. And that's so true. The gift of mercy. We know those people. And we should, we too. I'm saying all the time, we know those people, we know those people, when it should be us. Father, help us that we will function in all of these gifts. The gift of the word of wisdom. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to know the mind of the Holy Spirit in such a way as to receive insight into how a given knowledge may best be applied to specific needs arising within the body. So this is wisdom. We would always pray and ask, Lord, help me. I ask for wisdom concerning this matter. Yes, we ask for wisdom in general. You lack wisdom. But when you're in a particular situation, you say, Lord, I ask for the wisdom for this particular matter. So that you receive insight into that particular matter. And even as you have the knowledge, or the knowledge is yeah, even as you have the knowledge, then the Lord shows you then how to apply it. Because you may have knowledge and don't know how to apply it to the situation. So you ask for wisdom for the situation. The gift of the word of knowledge. This is supernatural revelation of divine idea our insight in the mind, will our plan. So it's insight into the mind, will our plan, and also the plans of others that man could not know of himself. So the Lord gives you some insight concerning, okay, it's a word of knowledge. So you say to someone, ah, this is what's going on in your life, you know, and remember all of these gifts are for the edification of the body. And all of these gifts, you know, the word tells us that there are some that have to see in order to believe, right? So when we function in these gifts, it's for that purpose. It's not for us. It's that others will see and believe, right? Because you have some that must see in order to believe. The gift of the word of wisdom, the gift of the knowledge, the gift of the word of knowledge. I just did that. The gift of faith. This is the special ability that God gives to some members of the body of Christ to discern with extraordinary confidence the will and purpose of God for the future of his work. It is the supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt on belief and reasoning. And this is a must, because you know the word of God says that in order to come to him, we must first believe, you know, that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, it says that without faith, we can't please the Lord. It's impossible to please him, because you must first believe that he exists and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So this is huge. We need this, the gift of faith, the gift of healing. This is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to serve as human intermediaries through whom it pleases God to cure illnesses and restore health apart from the use of natural means. So, you know, you have people that will lay on hands and bring healing, you know, and I desire that gift. I desire it for all of us, you know, that we would pray. Someone would be ill, even as it says, if you're sick, you must bring the person to the elders and lay on hands and bring healing. And that is our desire, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to serve as human intermediaries through whom it pleases God to perform powerful acts that are perceived by observers as acts that have altered the ordinary course of nature. So a miracle. Healings fall under miracles. Right? That falls under a miracle. Someone is ill for X amount of years, or they're struggling with something, and after the laying on of hands, you know, healing comes. The gift of discerning of spirits. This is a special ability God gives. And this is very important. This is a special ability God gives to some members of the body of Christ, which enables them to know with assurance whether certain behaviors purported to be of God is really divine, human, or satanic. So you can discern the spirit. So it's either good or evil. So the word says, you ask for a discerning heart, that you'll be able to discern between what's good and what is evil. You know, decipher the two. The gift of tongues. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to speak to God in a language they have never learned, or to receive and communicate an immediate message of God to his people through a divinely anointed utterance in a language they have never learned. So we spoke last week about the gift of tongues. The gift of interpretation is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to make known in a familiar language the message of one who speaks in tongues. There's also interpretation of hard sentences, like the case of Daniel. As we know, the king sent and said, tell me the dream and tell me what it means. Right? And you would realize that by now that at the beginning of every explanation, it says, this is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body, right? But that does not negate the fact that you can ask, because it is a gift. So you can also ask the Lord to function in the gift, you know, because it is given, it is freely given. So you can ask the Lord as well. So don't think because you're hearing this is a special ability God gives to some members, right? You can also ask. You have the desire, you ask, right? And the Lord releases it upon you at his free will. The gift of tongues, the gift of interpretation, is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to make known in a familiar language the message of one who speaks in tongues. There's also interpretation of hard sentences. Example, oh, I think I just read this. Sorry. Let me see. The gift of tongues. And then the gift of interpretations. Yeah, I just read this one as it relates to Daniel, which is the interpretation of the tongues. The gift of apostle. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ, which enables them to assume and exercise general leadership over a number of churches. So we know what apostle means, right? It means the one that is sent, the sent one. So he's sent to establish, right? Exercise general leadership over a number of churches with an extraordinary authority in spiritual matters that is spontaneously recognized and appreciated by these churches. It extends also to physical helps, example, to widows, orphans, destitutes, etc. There are pathfinders in the body by the anointing of leadership upon them, right? So it says here there are pathfinders. These are the ones who find paths, you know? The ones the Lord sends, instructs to go, they are able to take the church along as they break new ground. The gift of helps. This is the special ability that God gives to some members of the body of Christ to invest the talents they have in life and ministry of other members of the body, thus enabling the person helped to increase the effectiveness of his or her spiritual gifts. So it's somebody to walk that walks alongside to help you, you know, improve. The gift of administration. This is a special ability God gives to some members of the body of Christ, which enables them to understand clearly the immediate and long-range goals of a particular unit of the body of Christ. They also devise and exercise effective plans for the accomplishment of those goals. They function as part of the organizing arm of the church. They are good at networking. And this is my gift, administration. The gift of evangelist. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to share the gospel with unbelievers in such a way that men and women become Jesus's disciples and responsible members of the body of Christ. They are the key fishermen, even though the whole church is commissioned to be fishermen. Right? So it says they are the key ones, although the entire church is supposed to function as evangelists, because all of us are supposed to go. That's from the beginning. That's what the Lord said. You know, go ye into the nations. And we have Pauline in our midst on the Barbados team, Pauline Carbine. If not all, the majority, 95% of the people that are a part of the Barbados team, we have about 38 ladies. If not all, 95%. Came through Pauline Carbine. So without a doubt, we know that she is the evangelist, right? And I remember once we had a retreat in Jamaica, and a part of the retreat was that we had to go into town, Kingston, and evangelize. And it was, I can't remember, I think it was like a Friday evening. So Kingston was full. It's Kingston, sorry, not Kingston. We were in Montego Bay, so we went into the town area that was close to the sister that we were staying at, that we had a retreat by. And I remember, you know, I used to be so nervous, because for me, like, evangelism, it's easy for me to evangelize persons that I know, you know, as opposed to just going onto the road. And I remember we had to go onto the road. And they placed the younger ladies with Pastor Joan from Dominica, the national coordinator for Dominica. And let me tell you, Pastor John, I don't even know if the name evangelist is good enough for Pastor John. Pastor John, I mean, she would stand, look, and then attack, and then go. And I mean, we are going to people who are on the street playing their trade. Pastor John even went into a fast food restaurant to a lady that was sitting there, and it was like, whoa! You, Pastor John, is something else. And I mean, these people are allowing Pastor John to pray with them. And we are on the street, and it's like a street party. And the people are allowing Pastor John to pray with them. And I was like, whoa, that's a real gift. Pastor John is a serious evangelist, let me tell you. Good. It speaks about the gift of the pastor. This is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to assume a long-term personal responsibility for the spiritual welfare of a group of believers. They act as caretakers and shepherds. So yes, so we know the role of the pastor is he is the shepherd, he's the caretaker of the flock. The apostle is the one that is sent, the pathfinder, the one that goes and breaks ground. The teacher is the one that, as they come in, teaches them. Right? The evangelist is the one that goes and brings them in. So it's pastor, and the prophet is the one that hears and speaks. The apostle functions in that as well. Right? So yes, if we're talking about the fivefold ministry. The gift of hospitality, this is the special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to provide open house and warm welcome for those in need of food and lodging. The gift of intercession, this is the special ability to pray for extended periods of time on a regular basis and see frequent and specific answers to their prayers to a degree, much greater than that which is expected of the average Christian. That's our gift. The gift of missionary. This is the special ability that God gives to some members of the body of Christ to minister whatever other gifts they have outside their immediate church or environment. To minister whatever other gifts they have outside. So the missionaries, they go out on the outside and they function in different areas, different graces, you know, to minister Christ to the unsaved. The gift of deliverance, this is a special ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to cast out demons and evil spirits. Good. So that is the list that I have here in the book. Can anyone else think of another gift that they're willing to share with us and just explain? Okay, so I'll move on. So I have here now differences between spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. So is there anyone, before we even go into the definition here, is there anyone who's willing to explain the difference here for me? Before we even look at this slide, what's the difference between spiritual gifts and fruit of the Spirit? So we know the fruit of the Spirit, love, peace, joy, gentleness, long-suffering. We know the fruit of the Spirit versus gifts of the Spirit. So we know, as I just mentioned, the various gifts. We have wisdom, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, as I have here. Discerning of spirits, gift of prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, faith, healing, hospitality, healing, all of these things. The apostle, the pastor. We know that those are the gifts versus the fruit. So is there anyone that can explain to us or just give us a general idea in terms of the difference between the gifts, the spiritual gifts, and then fruits of the Spirit, the gifts versus the fruits? Or should I just go ahead? Okay, so I'll just move forward. Or someone, I'm hearing like if someone is unmuting.
Yeah, the...
I can't hear you now. The microphone, I think you're dropping out. Okay, so I'm not hearing the person. I'm not too sure who it was.
but I have some challenges with the internet, so it's not helpful. But I was saying, that the fruit of the spirit is like, you would say like your characteristic.
Your characteristics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, you know, as a believer, these things should come out of you.
Yeah.
But the gifts is, you have nothing to do with it. If,
mm-hmm. Or yeah.
It comes from God.
Mm-hmm.
Basically,
that is it.
I don't know if I explained what.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You see, the gifts versus the fruit. So remember, the word says... Someone else speaking? Oh, it's echoing. Okay, good. So I just put you on mute. That was Heather. It's echoing. Right. So as Heather said, the fruit is the characteristics versus the gifts which are given. So the long and short of it is that, yes. So gifts are freely given. Whereas fruit, we get fruit through rubbing up our intimacy with the Lord. All right, so let me just go on to that slide, which is very interesting. So it says the fruit of the Spirit, which we can find in Galatians 5, 22, 23. Right, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. These are all fruit of the Spirit. So I went into explaining the Greek word again, which I cannot pronounce this K word. I don't know. Kaptos. I don't know what this symbol represents. So the Greek word, and I have it here highlighted, that we translate into fruit usually means fruit in the sense of edible fruits and vegetables, but it can also be translated as offspring, deed, action, result, or profit. Remember the scripture that says you will know them by their fruit? We know them by their fruit. You know, with the things that we see, right? In an agrarian society, fruit is a good thing. It is the result of hard work and careful tending. Today, we might use the word fruit in a phrase such as the fruit of our labor to communicate the results of an effort, our effort, right? So coming out of our efforts, this is the fruits that we reap. So we work a whole week and this is the fruit of my labor, $100, right? So it says, even if we don't harvest strawberries or apples, we can have fruit, something to show for our work in a paycheck, a finished project, or even a baby. Understanding that fruit in this verse can mean deed, action, or result helps make this verse more personal. The result are the work of the Spirit in a believer's life, right? So let me read that again. The result are the work of the Holy Spirit in a believer's life should equate to what? Or should result in love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So I pulled this information from an online source, Noise 2019. So basically, when you look at it here, it's saying fruit. And what helps me to remember it is the same scripture that says we know them by their fruit. So we know them by their actions. So you could say one thing to me, but I am going to see how you're behaving. So I know you by your fruit, right? So it says the fruit of the Spirit. So it's telling us a simple example. This is our work week. What is the fruit of your labor? So you're an administrator. At the end of the week, you get $100. So that is because of your work, this is what you get. So the fruit of the Spirit comes about through us having an intimate relationship with the Lord. And not only intimate, any type of relationship. But it's best that we have an intimate one, because the closer you are to the Lord, the more fruit you bear. Right? Which is the same thing with work. If you're lazy, you won't reap much rewards. Especially as a farmer, a lazy farmer, you can't reap much rewards. But the more intense and the more involved you are, the more fruit you reap, right? And it's the same thing here. So we spoke about the gifts of the Spirit before, and we realized that it said, these are what the Lord gives freely to certain people with anybody. This is what the Lord gives freely to XYZ. This is what the Lord gives freely to. I remember I said, even as it says, this is what the Lord gives freely to XYZ, we could still go and ask for gifts because you don't work for gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit, you have to work for them though. And working for them is true intimacy with the Lord. The more intimate you become with Him, the more fruit you bear, right? I hope it was clear. I hope that was clear. Right? Is that clear for everyone? In terms of fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, spiritual gifts versus spiritual fruit. Was that clear?
Yes.
Okay, all right, good. Good, good.
Yes, because we are muted.
Thanks, Ramona. All right, good. So what I did, also to help us understand it even a bit more, I split the characteristics or the factors. I split them down into a table. Spiritual gifts versus fruit of the Spirit. So spiritual gifts, which we dealt with before, it says it cannot be earned. They are freely given. Why? Because they are gifts. Whereas fruit of the Spirit, they are developed and they are earned. Right, because they are fruit. So they're the fruit of our labor. So again, spiritual gifts, they are discovered. So you discover your spiritual gifts through functioning in the body. You start realizing, okay, I did this and this is what happened. And I realized that it's easy for me to do this and this is my second nature. You know, I realized that it's easy for me to believe when one of my sisters come and say, Ashley, pray for me concerning this. And I believe that I even believe in more for them than myself. I have faith to believe that they will receive it. And in tutus, they come back and say, well, that's beige and parlance, tutus. That means in quick succession. Excuse me. So in quick succession, they come and say, Ashley, this is what happened, right? So that is how I discover my gift from functioning. I realize, wow, I like administration. I like organizing. I like setting things in place. I like setting goals and accomplishing those goals. I like hospitality. Whenever any of the men and women traveling, I make my house available so you could come and stay. You know, you're in transit. Come, right? So functioning in the body, I begin to discover these things. Whereas the fruit of the Spirit, they are not discovered but developed. True personal relationship with the Lord, right? So the more time I spend with Him, the easier it is for me to do certain things, the easier it is for me to love other people. The more time I spend with Him, the more gentle I become. The more time I spend with Him, right? All of these things. You know, the Word of God is a double-edged sword. Because, you know, even as I went through this before and I'm going through it now, and it's becoming like even more personal in terms of things that I need to do. As an individual, it says spiritual gifts define what a Christian does. Remember, I said as you begin to function in the body, you start realizing certain things. So it defines what you do, right? Whereas fruit of the Spirit defines what a Christian is. So as Heather mentioned about your characteristics, she's very loving, she's very kind. She's gentle. She's this. She is the next. She is this. Not that Ashley does this or Ashley does that, but this is who Ashley is. She's gentle. She's kind. She's loving. You know, she's considerate. That is, the fruit reveals what you are. It says spiritual gifts. It is not a prerequisite for effective exercise of the fruit of the Spirit. Right? So your spiritual gift is not required for you to function in the fruit. So you don't need to be a pastor in order to function in love. I hope that everyone understands that. Because remember, we said the pastor is the caretaker, the shepherd. So you don't have to be a pastor in order to function in love, but you really should have love as a gift. You should have that gift. To function in that, you should have that fruit and functioning in that gift door. You should. Right? You should definitely have that fruit functioning in that gift. It's actually a prerequisite. Because if that is the gift released to you, that means that love, you can't be functioning in love, is a prerequisite for effective So you could be exercising, you could be functioning in your you could be functioning in your gift, right? But not effectively. Wow, that is so true. So it's saying that you need these fruits to function effectively. Because we all know that you have people in roles that don't function effectively. So in order for you to function effectively in the role, it's to your benefit to draw closer to the Lord so that you begin to function in these fruits become evident in your life. All right, it says, right, so spiritual gifts are not a prerequisite for effective exercise of the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit is a prerequisite for effective exercise of spiritual gifts. So gifts without fruit are worthless. That's what it said. That's what the book said. Gifts without fruit are worthless. It is true, because you could be functioning in a role and you're not effective because you lack certain fruit. So imagine that. So imagine the Lord has given you a gift, but you can't function in it properly because you're lacking the fruit. And whether or not you have the fruit is up to you. You know, and your willingness to spend time with the Lord. Wow. It says, and this next point is very important. Spiritual gifts are temporal. That means they are temporary. They are for a time. It says in 1 Corinthians 13, prophecy and tongues and knowledge shall pass away, but faith, hope, and love will abide. So it says the fruit of the Spirit are eternal. The fruit of the Spirit, it is eternal. Whereas, well, spiritual gifts are for a time. They are temporal. That's very important. Very, very important. Well, spiritual gifts, task-oriented. As we know, because remember I said that they are not a bless me, but a bless you. In that they are for service. You know, to build up others, to exhort others. So they're a task that you do. Whereas fruit of the Spirit is centered around your relationship with the Lord. So it's God-oriented. My word, you know, I'm going through this. I went through this already and I'm going through it. And the Lord just highlighting so many areas in my life, you know, which point to the fact that I need to spend more time with him. Yeah. Because it's so... Hi, Ramona. I can't see you. Yes. Oh, go ahead.
I said that it's temporal. I thought that whatever gifts we get is for always and until we die.
Whatever gifts we get, we have them until we die. So...
But I thought that once he gives you the gift, and you're active in that gift.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it cannot be temporal. Well, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. So I believe, because I thought this very same, I understand where you're coming from. So I believe it means, okay, so spiritual gifts, it said that these are for like edification of the body, is their acts of service basically. So you serving others with your gift. So your gift is not for you. So for me, this is how I took it, the gift of the pastor. You might not be, at a certain age, you might not be able to actually function in that particular role. Although your heart is still there, you still have a pastoral heart, right? But you might not be actively functioning, I believe, because the Lord says he gives them without, what's the word? Not repentance. He gives them without taking them back. They're freely given. So the thing about it is even the unsaved have gifts. I hope we know that. I hope we know that even the unsaved have gifts.
Yeah.
And it is only when you give your life to the Lord that it is aligned and then it bears good fruit. Because the unsaved got gifts too. Sorry?
That will be talents. like what they safe have is, we call it
talent. You call them talents? All right, we'll have to research to see really and truly talents versus gifts. These are some good discussions that we can have on Thursday. Don't forget to make a note, please. Ramona, make a note. So that we can come back. Sorry?
Is it when that's Mona?
Yes, please.
Good evening, everybody.
Yes, please.
The way I look at it is that the gifts of the Spirit, mm-hmm. that these are things that cannot vanish away from you. It cannot leave you.
Correct.
But the one that you're doing, if the different gifts of tongues, it's in those spirits, we can't go anywhere with it, you know?
Mm-mm, no.
You are gone, so it's not part of you any longer. But the one of the spirits still is going to be, because it is part of you. That's what the Holy Spirit really gives you. And as you said earlier on, some people walk in Christianity with their gifts, you know, like you have administration, somebody's
doing that.
Other works, then they come into the church and it can be used, but the Holy Spirit empower them. They not normally do it on their own. They rely upon the Holy Spirit to empower them with what they have already. Mm-hmm. So that's how I'm looking at it. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit that give us love, joy, peace, long suffering, you have to go with that, because that is part of you, really, not to be used anywhere like, oh, you do it normally in the normal church. That's how I understand that.
Yeah, and because those are the things that really matter at the end of the day. And because the Lord says that at the end of the day, unless you have love, that you have nothing, you know? Unless you could be functioning in all of these different gifts. But as long as you do not have love, you are a noisy instrument. That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Right? So even as you know, I remember that scripture, that could apply to this very same, the fact that they are temporal. Right, functioning in them is for a time, right? But these things, this is eternal.
Mm-hmm. That's
love, true. Joy, peace, these things are eternal. You know, these are eternal. These are eternal. Task oriented versus God oriented. But we are going to look at these gifts versus talents. Because, yeah, the Lord gave talents to men. Okay. Anyone else has a comment before we move forward? Okay. It's not. We can move ahead. Good. So the prerequisites needed to obtain these gifts. You have to be a Christian. And this is spirit. I should have placed spiritual gifts in front of here so that we could just, you know, distinguish. Spirit, it should be spiritual gifts. You have to be a Christian. You have to believe in spiritual gifts. Yeah, you have to faith. That's why the Lord was saying, you know, without faith, you can't please me. Because you must believe that this thing exists in order to partake of it. You have to be willing to work. Because again, remember we mentioned that gifts are for service. You have to pray. Because it's true praying that the Lord would help you even to function in them. You know, and to bring them into alignment and whatever else he needs to do. Does anyone else want to add anything more to these prerequisites, or want to expand on one of them?
Actually, the gift.
You breaking? This is Brenda Lee. Your
gift.
Internet. Okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. We see a lot of time that you see people have gifts that God gives them,
mm-hmm.
but they're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit with it. They're not becoming Christ-like with it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes especially in the church, sometimes you feel
a gift. You're breaking up really bad. We didn't get that one.
Music.
Music.
Even preaching.
Okay.
I say you in the church, sometimes you see people have gifts. Music, preaching, even gift to serve, like to serve in perfecting the fruit of the Spirit, professing Christianity. Quote unquote religious people you'll find operating gifts, because the gifts of God is not unto repentance. And it's sometimes to me, I feel like it become a stumbling block.
The gifts?
Because you see people are so gifted and they use them in the church, but yet still these people are not professing to be Christian or not even trying to walk or perfect the fruit, because they're gifted, they just use them. How do you think about it, or open the discussion? How do you think about it? To me, I feel it's a stumbling block for many people.
Help me, Dawn, because you are breaking up really bad. So you said there are some people in the body who have gifts, but they don't have the fruit of the Spirit. They're functioning in the gift.
No, I'm talking, I say in the body of Christ, I said in the religious church, because there's a difference from the religious church and the body of Christ. In order for you to be a member of the body of Christ, you got to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
But in the church, the local assembly that we call church, we find a lot of people gifted. They can sing, they got musical gift, they can play the music, the keyboards or guitars and stuff. Even you find some people have a gift to preach. Mm-hmm. They can preach, but they're not walking the walk nor talking the talk. But yet they're placed, they're used because of their gift in the church, and it becomes a stumbling block for so many.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, a stumbling block for who you mean? Who do you mean? Okay, so you mean the persons in the body?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so too. That could be a case, a stumbling block for both the individual, because they're still functioning. They're still functioning. So they may think that all is well. And then those looking on who are, what's the word? Oh my, I can't even think of the word right now. So like less mature, vulnerable, not vulnerable. Oh my, I can't even think of the word right now. But there are others. Okay, I'm hearing feet. Wait, one moment. That's Heather. Heather, again, a lot of feedback with yours echoing. Not discernment time. So there are some persons who are, let me just say, like less mature, that it may be a stumbling block, because they see the person functioning and believing that all is well because they are functioning, not knowing that it is not that's not a requirement. So as we said before, that the Lord, he gives gifts without repentance. So you could still be functioning. That's where you have, there are some ministers that may, you know, they're functioning all as well. And then you find out down the line that such and such was happening, unfortunately, but they were still functioning all along. I know. And then that causes a fall away in the body sometimes. So I understand in terms of that, in terms of, it being a stumbling block that way, in that you have persons looking on and seeing these things and then wondering, like, what's going on? How could this be happening? How could this have happened when this person was functioning and they were prophesying, they were doing this and that, third and fourth, not realizing that, you know, that these gifts are given, but that at the end of the day, is, you know, we usually, in fact, no, just let me leave that out. But I understand what you mean, Brendalee. And yes, it could be a stumbling block for some. And that's why it's important. Sorry? That's why it was important. That's why it's important to have a relationship with the Lord, an intimate relationship with the Lord, so that you would see him, you know, and so that when the high winds blow, because that is a high wind, so when the high winds blow, that you will not be uprooted. And that's why too is important for us to help the young believers, you know, like disciple them. And as you disciple, don't disciple them onto yourself, but point them to the Lord so that their roots would go deep, so that when the high winds blow, they won't topple, because that is a high wind. You know, seeing, because it's like, oh, this person should know better. This person, you know, was in it before me. And then you see this person struggling. So then it's like, well, how could I even function? How could I even get through if this person can't get through? So yeah, or I believe this person, they believe this, the next and the third, to the point that they believe, like, if the person is Jesus himself, you know. So that's why it's important to point persons to the Lord. And that's why it's important to have your own personal your own personal relationship with the Lord, a deep relationship, an intimate relationship with the Lord. So Mona, you can go ahead, and then Simonia.
Oh, yes, in reference to what you were saying before you spoke, this brings us to the gift of discerning of spirits.
Yeah, correct. I was
coming with whatever they have, but again, the discerning of spirits plays a major role in the church, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You would have to wait later down to know, then you could discern what is really happening, because the person cannot function without the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, they'll be doing it on their own. But when the Holy Spirit takes over this individual and work through this individual, then you really see good fruits coming out from whatever they have.
Yeah. So with the discerning of spirits, then you know which spirit the person is functioning out of. Right? And something else just came to mind. I can't remember. No, it slipped me as you were speaking. Right? So with the discerning of spirits, yeah. Because the person could still be functioning, but if you function in that gift, you know, then this is okay. So this is this spirit. This is, yeah. Because you can have people that sing like a lark, and it's still not move. It still is not doing anything. And if you're discerning, you realize. All right, and so that's why it's important to have an intimate relationship with the Lord. You know, fix your eyes on the Lord. And he will help you to navigate, because we're in a battle at the end of the day. And so you must be able to navigate, and to navigate well, and to help each other to navigate well. So Monia, you can go ahead.
Yes, Ashley, let me just, I'm not feeling 100%, but with the, what I am thinking, especially what the Word of God says, you see, with the gift, with the fruits of the Spirit, which is, I say, okay, the fruits of the Spirit is which Spirit? Is the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And it's really the, yes. With the fruit of the Spirit, we could make it to heaven. Right? But the gift of the Spirit, you could be gifted, because what the gift of the Spirit is there is for the church. It's for the body.
Correct. Edification.
To cleanse. Because when we get word, God speaks to individual, whatever gift he releases is to help the church to build up the body, to cleanse the body, to purify the body. As long as we would submit to gain wisdom and more, everything that we could think of. But what I could speak to experience of what I'm experiencing in the body of Christ. And, you know, as a servant, what I have learned is, when you see, when God, the gift is for the body, and the gift is not holiness. It's not
correct.
I would say. So when God gifted us, he gifted us for, because we too benefit in the church, number one. And we have to understand that there's so much more, because it's the fruit of the Spirit is, you know, telling you, yeah, you are growing. It's the character. You are growing. So you realize whenever the fruits are, say, for example, you have the tangerine tree, and you have the sour orange, and mm-hmm. all those, like the grapefruit, all those, put them together in one place, they almost kind of look alike. But it's when they begin to bear their fruits
that you know the difference.
To identify, this is the grapefruit, this is the orange, this is the sour orange, and this is the tangerine and stuff like that. And not just bearing, but also, you know, enjoying the fruits. Mm-hmm. So even the fruits of the spirit, as we live and we having the growing into the character of Christ, the fruits of the spirit. So others too, it's benefit to us and also others. Mm-hmm. Okay. So yeah. I notice with us is when God has really blessed us with gifts, we need to be really conscious about we has not. It's a process of growth. It's a process of God taking us from one place to the other. And we need to be very humble. We need to, I'm trying my best to see how much I can bring that out because of the way I feel. Yeah, we need to recognize that God through his Holy Spirit is our main source. And the gift is not what that will make us get into heaven. It's for us, for the body of Christ, but the main thing is the fruits. If we need to look into not just operating into the gifts, but as well to see that we are as well growing and bringing forth fruits, especially, you know, love when situation comes and being, you know, being joyful and peaceful and being meek and stuff like that. So I noticed that we have to, I am speaking on behalf of myself, we have to be conscious about God, his word, and as he speaks. We need to be very humble. We need to be, I would say, be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God and not to allow pride, you know, not to be prideful about what God is doing because of the gift. Because I'm seeing it, as the sister was speaking, I am seeing it happening. And it's like, it reminds me of, even when Christ is coming back, the Bible says about it. Mm-hmm. When he had to separate the sheep, you know, apart and the goat. And many will say, yes, I have prophesied in your name. Of course, he saw all of that. But did we portray the gifts? Mm-hmm. Not the gifts, sorry, the fruits. When Christ was on earth, he sent the disciples out. One of these verses I sometimes focus on. When he actually breathe on them, he sent them out two by two, he sent them out, they went out, they cast out demon. That was a gift for operating, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They cast out demon, and when they came back, they were excited. They begin telling Jesus about what happened, and this is what happened, the enemy, you know, and these are the things that happen, operates when the gift is operating. Mm-hmm. And even Satan subjects, and Jesus said, look, you know, you need to be more mindful that your names are written.
Yeah.
So I always look at it that God, the gift is for the body of Christ, but we too have to understand. And the more and more that we go into the word of God speaks to us of how we should live, even the very same gift that operates in the church when God speaks with knowledge, wisdom, prophecy, and whatever, it also brings out the good, and it also brings out what is good that God is expecting is happening and what is bad that is happening that God wants it to be fixed. So I believe that everybody that knows that God has released gifts, that we have to understand this is not our passport for heaven. It's holiness. It's the growth through the fruits of the Spirit. And we just have to be conscious about it, that we will not allow self to take over, like I said a while ago, pride and feel we are more better than others because of the gift. Because you could sing and do all of that. You could preach more than person. You could prophesy and speak tongues. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I tell my people, when I said, it doesn't matter how much that God would use me. But if I don't keep up to the sowing and allowing the manifestation of the fruits in me to grow, that's not going to take me anywhere but straight to hell if I don't. Because it's written, you know. So we all just have to be mindful of these things. And because it's God doing his work. Mm-hmm. You know, it's God operating and give us fruits because you know it's needful, but we just have to understand as the sister said. And this is what I believe that is happening in the churches,
in the body. Unfortunately,
Yes, this is what is up to. Just look up and know that we that God has blessed with gifts operating, we just know we have to be Christ-like.
Mm-hmm.
We just know it's not really just the gift. I look at it as both of them operates together, that it could draw people to Christ. You know, it could draw, because we saw the disciples. I mean, people said they were drunk when the outpouring of the Spirit, it was the gift operating and manifesting.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw how they themselves operate in love.
Yeah.
They operate in love. They operate in love, and they operate under the power of the Holy Spirit and begin to speak the word of Christ, and many, many things happen. You know, so it's an example for us. So we just have to look up to these things so we can be Christ-like. Just be, you know, like the fruits, we're growing it through the fruits and stuff like that, the fruits of the Spirit.
Okay, that's true. Thank you very much. Because what you did, you addressed the question that Ramona had, and you brought far more clarity than I did. When Ramona asked about the temporal versus the eternal, the fruit versus the gift. The gift being temporal and the fruit being eternal. And you brought a lot of clarity to that question. And the answer is in Luke 10:20, even as you reference it. It said, however, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, right? Which is a gift, right? But rejoice, because we're talking about like deliverance, right? So like the gift, remember we mentioned the gift of deliverance.
Yeah, the
but rejoice that your names are written. I want to read the exact scripture. Good. Are written in heaven. So that's what it says. So Ramona, that's an answer to your question, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And the only way your names could be written in heaven is functioning in these, in the fruit.
Fruits, yes.
Because, you know, I remember one time I was going through some stuff and the Lord said to me, I mean clear. And then even as he said it to me and I really didn't like fully understand, within like a couple months I started to see, like he started to break it down for me. I was going through this season, you know, with a lot of stuff, and the Lord said to me, Ashley, love is the strongest spirit, and he called love a spirit.
Yeah.
So I was like, what? The Lord said, Ashley, love is the strongest spirit. It's stronger than witchcraft. He started to call out things that you would think strong, because you think that's witchcraft strong. But the Lord said, love stronger than witchcraft. The Lord said, it's the strongest spirit. And it was like, wow. Then the Lord reminded me of the scripture that says that love covers over a multitude of sin. Remember, the only way something could cover something else is that it's going to be stronger. Sure. It's going to be bigger. It's going to be wider. It's going to carry more weight to cover over something. He said, love covers over a multitude of sin. Right. And I can't remember where I had seen the reference. I saw the reference about it was a conference, it was a teacher, and I can't remember any person referenced love as a spirit. And it was like, wow, I know understanding what the Lord was saying to me. I know understanding. And then I remember another encounter I had when Waywam came to Barbados Youth with a Mission. And I realized that these young people, I mean young, right? So they would be like in their early 20s. So like 19, 20, 21, 18, 19, 20, 21. I think some of them were even probably must be like 17. I can't even remember exactly, but I mean young. And these students prophesying, I mean, every time you turn, it's bare prophecy. Like their default is prophecy. Like when they come to prayer, it's just prophecy, bare prophecy you get in. Every time you turn, it's prophecy, 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 till you can't hold it anymore. And you know what the Lord said to me? The Lord said, Ashley, it's because, you know, it's like I am free to reveal my secrets to them, because I know that they won't use it to harm another because of misfunction in love. That's what the Lord tell me. So because they function in love, like that is the big thing for them, love. Not prophesying. Not having a big choir that could sing good and getting awards. Not teachers that they're sending all over the world to train people. No, it's a stronghold. It's like a stronghold. Like their strength is love. And because everything they do stems back to the place of love, because all of their training stems back to love. the focus is love. So everything they do is linked to love. Identity, knowing who you are so you can tell another person who they are, is love. They are missionaries, as you know, is youth with a mission, right? They are missionaries, love again. So everything they do is love. So the Lord say that's what it is. It's because it functions from a place of love. That's why they could see you and just begin to prophesy. Like that was like a wow for me. Everything is prophecy. Everything is prophecy. Like just prophesying. Like it's just like their speech is prophecy. I mean, like everything is prophecy. And the Lord showed me it's because of love. So thank you very much, Simonia. That was a very good explanation. I guess this is Heather again. Heather, you hear the echoing?
No problem.
Go ahead.
Listen, I send you a message. No, it's just like when the word of God tells us that we should covet prophecy.
Correct.
So I just want to add that part to what you were saying.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I can hear you. I would just mute so that I would not affect you. Yeah. So thank you very much. Thanks, Simonia. That was good clarity. So you understand, Ramona? That was good for you. It was good clarity for me because I was not even looking that deep. I was just looking at its surface as in, yes, you function in this gift. It's for a time you will be functioning in this, right? But you will always have these fruit. Was that okay for you, Ramona?
I understood. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks. You're welcome. Thanks, Simonia. Good. So we can move on, or anyone else has a, someone else has a, does anyone have any more comments? Or we can move on. Brandley, you're breaking up really bad.
I just want to get back again. From the speakers. Oh, okay. I just want to speak back again from the speakers. And look at the account of Paul. When Paul went into a region and this, there was this girl, she was prophesying. She did it for days. And then Paul rebuked her and cast out the demon because
All right, so Brandley dropped right out just now. Simonia, I'm seeing your hand up, so you can go ahead until Brandley comes back in.
Hold on. Can you close that up, please? Can you close that up, please? Yes, yeah, sorry about that. No yes, problem. Actually, the Holy Spirit really wants me to say this. Because this is, you see the topics? I don't know for other people. I don't know for other sisters that is here right now. But this is a very, very serious thing. Speaking from last week, teaching about prayer and the Holy Spirit, we are living at the end times, and this is, we really, really need these things. God really wants us to take these things very serious. It's a, as a child of God, from my experience, it's a very wonderful experience, understanding and knowing God of his word. When he speaks about his gift, he will be releasing the Holy Spirit, and he speaks about the gifts and we operating in the gifts. But it's also important to make sure, because love, when we think of love, love alone.
Someone scrolling. Simonia, just one moment. Someone is scrolling on the screen.
No problem. Yes, go ahead.
I think it's Nicole. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Simonia.
Yes, it is very much important. It's a good feeling because I am experiencing it. But it's very much important, even as your eyes is open and you sing, it's important to, within your spirit, to really have your mind on God, to know that you are operating as well love as the fruit of the spirit. That covers, the Bible says that in Corinthians, it covers everything, you know. And let me just share, the Holy Spirit really wants me to share experience, because you see, self is our, you know, greatest enemy, and self always wants to present itself. So this is where we all of us who knows that God has gifted us, let us take this more serious, because we need to identify the gift. We need to watch ourselves and see if we are operating in the fruits of love, because that is where the work of God will be effective in the congregation. People will be delivered and strengthened and restored. I had an experience once. It's not just feeling nice, good with the gift, but you need to really understand what is going on in the spirit realm. I had an experience, we had a fast, and this happened twice, and I always share this. I shared it right away as soon as I experienced it. Well, the Holy Spirit, I don't know everything, but the Holy Spirit would bring certain things to me to understand. And that very same day, God was using me towards my pastor, and for the first time, I saw certain experience, you know, and with him. And right away, I was able to, I wonder where should I put this one? I was able to see, I was able to experience, there was some sort of, right away, and I know that the Lord was going to that revealed to me one time. I was able to experience self coming in, and I was able to rebuke it one time of making you feel good. That's how. Like making you feel good of what God is doing in your life. So I experienced that, and one time I dealt with it. I rebuked self, and I said, you have no part in this. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Lord. And if we do not realize those things for ourselves, that's how it's gonna be. It's gonna puff us up, mm-hmm. as when you put yeast in flour, mm-hmm. you know what it. But these are the things that we need to, yes, and we need to just be careful. And sometimes we not even observe this thing happening. But the same gift, again, God might use somebody to, in love, not to destroy us, mm-hmm. but to tell us what is happening, so we could simply get ourselves into the fruit in love, you know, in mm-hmm. humility, and to understand when we come, Lord. Father, teach us just how to, you know, humble, and knowing it's not us. We have no part in that. Mm-hmm. It's just the working of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And flesh will always do its job. You know, the enemy will always do his job. But God, that is why God gave us the Holy Spirit. And he gives us the gift to discern, you know, and all the different gifts he gives us, because he knows we are in need of it. So the Holy Spirit really wanted me to share this with us. So I encourage everybody that is hearing my voice. The gifts are important. That is why God did not give us nothing that was not needful.
Mm-hmm.
It was the gifting of the Holy Spirit. It is needful for the body as well as the fruits. So we need both, but we just need to make sure, because it is a very good experience when you're experiencing God, what you have read in his word, and you're seeing, mm-hmm. God, this is happening. This is giving us a heart to give God glory and praise and honor to God more, to big him up so much more, and to, you know, just open our lives and allow God to just have his way, just to see people being delivered and restored, just as in the days of the early church. That, because we too, God called us too. Peter and John, they were human beings like us.
Yeah.
They all were, and God had to, Jesus chose some of the disciples, most of them by the seaside. And we know people by the seaside, how they are, you know, and we are human beings, just like them, human, and we could see how God, when Christ was there, he thought, it's not that every one of them had it all, but when Jesus Christ left, we realize how they waited, and how God miraculously worked when the Spirit of the Lord came down,
mm-hmm.
and continuously they continue to work, and lives, many souls got saved. So that's why the gift is there. That's why the gift, especially the gift of tongues. One of my experiences, Lord, God uses the gift. They came and they heard all different languages, you know, all different languages. And some said they are drunk and all kind. But while studying, I say, okay, God, So you even use the gift of tongues to draw men. When they thought they were coming to mock and laugh, you arrested them for your Holy Spirit.
By
using your servant, by the mighty works, using your servant Peter preaching, and many souls got saved, you know, a lot of souls got saved. So we just have to focus. That is just the time God wants us to understand that love the fruits, love the gifts. Let's stay humble in the sight of God and allow God to have his way. I know we have no part there, but we just surrender. But when we see God manifesting of what the word says, we give much honor and glory to God. This is my contribution.
Amen. That's correct. Brandley? Brandley, you're back. Oh, still having the same problem. Oh my. Brandley, drop out again. You drop again? I can't really see. Oh, you're still there. You're still breaking up. We can't understand what you're saying. You can't understand what you're saying. Brenda Lee, could you type it? Put it into the chat so that I can read it. We will just move on to the last slide in the meantime, but put it into the chat and we are going to read. I would read it. So let's move on to, this is the last slide before we go on to our assignment. So it says 5 steps to discover the spiritual gifts. Explore the possibilities. That's the first step. The purpose of exploring the possibilities is to become familiar enough with the gifts that God has given to the body of Christ so that when you discover yours later on, meaning that obviously, remember we said that they are discovered, you know, through functioning, you discover them. So it's saying to explore the possibilities, become familiar with them, so that when you discover yours later on, that you will be able to recognize someone is on you. So that you would be able to recognize, so that when you discover yours later on, you will be able to recognize it for what it is. It says to do this, you have to, one, study the Bible. Even as someone you have mentioned, two, learn your church's position on gifts. Learn your church's position on gifts. I get, because you have some churches that what can I say? That do not embrace all of the gifts. That's what I should say. Three, it says to read extensively. Again, this is what someone was saying, you know, even as you read. And, you know, I was looking at faith the other day, and the Lord just reminded me that, you know, faith comes through hearing the word. And that means to like read. So it says read extensively. Get to know gifted people. That's always an encouragement. You know, somebody that walked before you or somebody that going through that, they could hold your hand and carry you through and tell you, they would be able to say, oh, this is what used to happen to me, and this is what you need to do. You know, it's so good to always have someone, you know, it's just good to have someone to walk alongside of you to encourage you, and someone you're accountable to, you know. Lord says he places the solitary in families, right? You need that. It really helps. It really does help having that person to walk alongside of you. You know, that person that is on the same path. And yes, we are all serving the Lord, but I mean, in terms of functioning within a particular gift, it's so helpful as it relates to information and wisdom. It's so very helpful. And then the last point here says, make gifts a conversation piece. Mean to talk about it. Even in talking about it, it increases your faith. You know, to believe that you can do, and that you are able to. One of the ladies I remember once, one of the ladies in the Barbados team, she said to me and another one of the young ladies, one of the other members, that the Lord has shown her that we have a gift of healing. So I was like, oh, well, the Lord, he never told me. I was like, I never knew that, right? But I know it was a desire of mine. It was a desire, but I could not say to you clearly that the Lord has said, or I can't even remember. I know I like to pray for people that are ill, and you see them get better, You know, so even though, you know, I was doing that, you pray for persons and you see them get better. Still, when she came and she said it to me, I was like, what? Well, Eli never tell me so. I can't remember him ever saying, you know. But then the Lord allowed me to have an experience once with a friend of mine who was not, I just happened to be by her home the same time when something happened. And I was so afraid. I was so afraid. And for me, it was just like a default. I always walked with my oil. I went into my car, got my oil, went back into the house, put it in my hands, rubbed my hands together, put it on her, lay my hands on her. And I said, Lord, I mean, a very simple prayer because I was so afraid. I said, Lord, you are the great physician. You are our healer. And so I come to you even now asking for complete healing and restoration in the name of Jesus. I was so afraid. But that's what I do, you know, just as a default, because that's what I'm supposed to do. I did it because I was supposed to do it. And, you know, I prayed. She felt better. And I left. And like a week or 2 weeks after, because it was some episodes that she was having at that point in time. And I remember she left a message on my phone asking me to, she left a message, Ashley, pray for me because the last time you prayed, stop, pray for me. And it was like, my God, Father, and you know, that was really, that probably was more for me than for her. You know, that was just the Lord like reminding me and reinforcing that this is the thing. And you see here, that's why we have to make gifts a conversation, you know, that's why you have to believe so that you will receive and you will function anything, because at the end of the day, it's really not for you. And as Simonia said, you got to be real careful too, that you don't get puffed up, right? So it says here, explore the possibilities. It says experiment with as many as come forth. That's a good thing to do. Examine your feelings about these gifts and what's happening, you know. Go to the Lord, have a conversation. Evaluate your effectiveness. Expect confirmations from the body. That's important there too. So it's not only you, you're not the only person, you're not to be confirming. Let others confirm. Let others come and see, and they see the X, Y, Z. And it builds, all of this builds your faith. You know, it builds and it encourages and it strengthens to go. But at the end, you got to really guard your heart. As again, someone you mentioned, you got to really guard your heart so that you will not be puffed up. Understanding that it has nothing to do with you. That is a gift that was freely given to you for service anybody, right? So those are the five steps to discover spiritual gifts. Does anyone have anything to add before we just go on to the end?
Yes, Ashley.
With the
gifts, we have to realize that as the word of God says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. And then God give us gifts, every one of us. And something here. Because of fear that this gift is not being manifested in the assembly, because mm-hmm. we feel to ourselves, as the lady was saying earlier on, talking about self. Mm-hmm. And then if we rely on our own self, then the fear will torment us. Fear will say, okay, mm-hmm. it does make sense you do that. And so many kind of reasons come into our mind that we cannot function as the Holy Spirit wants us to function. So mm-hmm. we have to be careful of the spirit of fear, because the enemy brings fear, because God said he have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So yeah. we have to be very, very, very careful when it comes to using your gifts.
Very true. Very true. Okay. Yeah, it's so true. It's very true, Moana. So I would have I just placed a document inside of the chat. So I would like everyone to save that document like to your computer or your device. I'm going to show you what it is. It's actually a test. Let me just put this link in just in case you have problems opening this, the PDF I sent. There's also the link there as well. So let me know if you were able to download it, if you were able to access the link. So basically, this is for Thursday. So I want you to complete the spiritual gift survey. So this is a spiritual gift survey. This link and the document I just sent, I want you to complete it in preparation for Thursday. Okay? Then when you come back on Thursday, we're going to just discuss these gifts in terms of what are your top three. We will try to see how many persons we can
could you send it to me? Because
Heather, I don't have it on my send it to you. How? Okay, I could think about that after.
I'm not sure of.
Okay, we will discuss that after.
Okay.
Because we're kind of running out of time. I will find a way to do it.
Is that in the website? Is that in the website?
No, it's not in the Caribbean website. This is something for our class that I pulled from I pulled from online. So it's a form I pulled.
They have the training. You all put the lessons there.
But the lessons, they won't be there. I have to submit it and then it's loaded. So I'm not the one that would load. So I can't tell you exactly. It should be there by next week. It should be. Right, but I can't say exactly that it will be there by next week because we work with the IT administrator to load the documents onto the server, onto the website.
Which chat you're talking about? The chat you're talking about, which one?
Oh, sorry, the chat, the Zoom chat right here. So on your Zoom? Okay. Yeah. So right on your Zoom.
Oh, okay.
Someone is saying, Danelle can't access it, neither can I. So what are you trying to access, the document, the PDF, or the link? Because if the PDF doesn't work, you should be able to copy the link and paste it into your browser, your internet browser. You want me to show you how to do it? Let me just show everyone how to do it. So let me just copy. No, not see that all. Just let me come out of here quickly. Let me share. Let me stop sharing. And let me know. Let me see. Share. Share screen. Good. So let me know when you can see my screen. You can see my screen?
Yes.
Good. So what I did, I copied the link from in the chat. And so you have two options. You could either double click on the PDF that I placed in the Zoom chat. If that does not work, copy the link that I sent and put it into your internet browser. And just hit enter. And it will come up. Everyone can see? Let me just make it a bit bigger. Everyone can see the form?
Yes.
Good. So it's the spiritual gift survey.
And so why we don't get it from you like this?
Like this? How? Yeah. I sent this into our chat.
WhatsApp.
because I don't have everybody on WhatsApp. That's why. Sorry. I don't have everyone on WhatsApp. If you have me on WhatsApp, you can WhatsApp me. So let me give my number.
I think I have you.
You have me? Good. Just send me a message then. You may have to send your name because I changed my phone, so I lost a lot of numbers.
Oh.
Right? So just send, as you send the message, just say this is Ramona, this is, right? So the persons who are having issues then, pulling it from the chat, you can WhatsApp me and I'll WhatsApp you. I'll send it back to you.
Okay. Just send it to me, Ash, please, and I'll forward it to my Dominican people.
Correct. And then it could send to someone from Bahamas. They can start with Bahamas. They could, Simonia, you have to message me because I can't remember if I still have your number. I don't know if Teresa is on. I've been trying to connect with Teresa. I can't get Teresa. Right. I think if Teresa was on, I would have heard her by now, but I haven't heard her. So, okay, good. So this is the form. So I want us to fill this form, to complete this form, right? So it gives us the directions. This is not a test. So there are no wrong answers. The spiritual gift survey consists of 80 statements, so 80 questions. Some items reflect concrete actions. Other items are descriptive traits, and still others are statements of belief. Select the one response you feel best characterizes yourself and place that number in the blank provided, right? So as you go through asking yourself these questions, I have the ability to organize ideas, resources, time, and people effectively. You would rate yourself from either 1 to 5. 5 being highly characteristic of me. 4, most of the time. 3, frequently. 2, occasionally. 1, not at all. So you fill in from 1 to 5 based on how you rate yourself. And then at the end, you're supposed to add up the numbers. And then once you add the numbers, it would then show you your different. So look, it's here. Follow the directions to figure out your score in terms of scoring. Place in each box your numerical response to the item number, which is indicated below. So how does this one work? This is different from the one that I had before. And I just saw it and assumed it was the same. Good. So once you complete, yes. For each gift, add the numbers in the boxes. Okay. Leadership, item 6. So that means you have to now look back. So it says here, leadership. So then you have to look back for your item 6. And depending on what rate you give yourself for number 6, you see, it says here, I have the ability to make critical decisions when necessary. Whatever number, if you rate yourself a number 5 here, you have to come back down here. It takes a little time to complete this test and put the number 5 under here. So when it says here, item 6, that means question 6. Item 16, question 16. So you will look back to see what your response was, and you would put the rating above here. And then at the end, you add them up, and then you put the total here. And then once the total is complete, there is a key. And then so as you read through, it would give you the instructions in terms of where you rate, where you fall on the scale. And then at the end, we would just talk about your top 3. Okay. Is that okay for everyone? It takes a little time. This might take like a half of an hour to complete, but it's really interesting to complete it and see your gifts. So that's the gift test. So let me just go back now to, can you see the PowerPoint? Or are you still seeing the
screen is blank.
It's blank. Okay, let me just, so let me have to stop share and share again. Stop share. Share again. Okay, good. You should be able to see it now.
Yes, please.
Good. Yes, so, oops. Move. Good. So, on Thursday, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to see how many people we can get. Our persons, you can just nominate yourselves, a couple persons, and we will look at your top 3 spiritual gifts, whether or not you're functioning in them and functioning effectively, and have any of them been confirmed by the body. Right, so we're just going to have like a general discussion next week. Not next week, I keep saying next week, I mean Thursday. Okay, so you can complete.
Yes, let me write down the questions.
Sorry,
don't take it. Don't take it. I'm gonna write down the questions.
Okay,
for the test. Okay.
Okay, good. So we have 2 more minutes. Right. So what are your top 3 spiritual gifts based on that test? Are you functioning in them? And have they been confirmed?
Any of your gifts been confirmed? Okay.
Okay. Everyone has them? So what I should do right now, I'm going to send myself. So good. So persons who need assistance in terms of the PDF, just send me a WhatsApp and I'm going to send it to your phone. That's the easy way.
And your number?
My number is, the area code is 246. Actually, let me put it into the chat. Let me put it into the chat so who needs it can take it from the chat. Sandra, you can message me directly. 1246, and I have the number there. Okay. Good. Okay. So that's it. So everyone is okay with our plans for Thursday. Any questions before we close in prayer? No? Okay. Ramona, could you please close us in prayer?
Father, thank you. Thank you for this time, loving God. Thank you for Ashley. Thank you, glorious God, for this teaching. Thank you for what you're doing in us, through us. Father God, we ask you, glorious God, continue, Father God, to impart, to continue to use Ashley, mighty, mighty God, to continue to teach us, God, teach everyone she comes in contact with, Father. Thank you, glorious God, for the fruit of your spirit and also for the gift of your spirit. Loving God, we say that everything is possible with you, and we will continue to strive, mighty God, to be what you want us to be. Thank you for imparting. Thank you for teaching, and thank you for your love for us. We ask you to take us where we're going and bring us back safe, mighty God. We are departing, mighty God, from each other, but not from you, mighty God. Your presence is with us always. Thank you. Bless you. Amen.
Amen. So everyone, have a wonderful day tomorrow, and I will see you on Thursday.
Have a good night, everyone. Blessings.
Good night. Good night. Blessings to you as well.
Are you dusting off?
So, hello? Someone asked about dusting off. Someone asked about dusting off. Okay, before you go, who is the person? So you can dust us off, please.
Okay. Good night, man.
Thanks for the reminder.
I love getting into it. There's someone else that have been around longer than I.
Go ahead. I thought it was Kenya.
I'm gonna do it right now. Give me a minute.
Good. Thanks.
Bye. Okay, Father God, we done.